What was the impetus? Why did you decide to run?
Originally, when the smoking ban was coming up, and I told this to a lot of people, whatever your feelings on the smoking ban, the city council at the time did not ask us, what we were going to be affected by. And if they had banned smoking in my establishment, a lot of my customers come in and enjoy a cigar in our lounge, we would have been out of business. So it was very scary to think that city government could put you out of business. But, that's what we were facing. And if I had not lobbied the city council at that time, we would have possibly been out of business. They wouldn't have put us an exemption in. And so that's kind of what got me rolling, just realizing that city government can do whatever it wants and, wanting to make that more accountable.
So in case you don't know, Jess owns Texas Avenue Cigars, which is right at Texas and Harvey Road. A lot of folks don't think College Station is very friendly towards small business. Let's talk businesses that maybe employ fewer than 25 people. If you're going to give College Station a numeric grade right now and getting along with small business, what's your view?
1 to 100?
Yeah.
I'd say 75.
Okay. Where does it need to change?
That's a passing grade. I mean, we're passing. We're in Texas. I mean, by that virtue, we're doing much better than most places. But I think what we have that's not so good is we have regulations that are particularly difficult for small businesses. I mean, one I talked about at the WTAW forum was the banner ordinance, a very basic thing. But you got to pay $200 every 2 weeks that you have a banner up. There's some businesses that just would put a banner up as a sign. I mean, Notes and Quotes on Northgate was the example I gave at the forum. And they can't do it without paying $200 every 2 weeks. You know, little things like that. There's plenty of things like that in our statutes. If we went through and we looked at those and asked small business owners, hey, what do you think? We would be able to find a lot of those things. And so those little regulations add up. The overlays add up, the coloring schemes add up, those sorts of things. And so, those little things add up and to make it a little bit more difficult for small business than it ought to be.
Well, let's talk about, you mentioned overlays, so let's talk about neighborhoods and the overlays there. What kind of what's your point of view as far as protection? I hate to use that term necessarily, but historic overlays is the terminology I think the city's been using.
Okay. Well, because neighborhood protection and overlays are two very different things.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think you're talking about Oakwood specifically.
That's fine.
So, in the Oakwood example, if they receive the historic overlay, the pro of that, the reason why a lot of people are in favor of that, is you keep that area virtually the same. I mean, you make sure that the area retains its architecture, its character for a long period of time. The downside of that is what's not so visible. The fact that if you had a historic overlay, people would, every time a disaster happened to the house or something happened, somebody drives into your house or heck, just the wind knocks down a shingle, you'd have to replace it with something as close to the time period as possible. And your insurance would go up accordingly to ensure that the house continued to be, historical. That's an extra thing to insure. And, of course, the value of the house might go up significantly as well. So, the hidden costs are there, and I don't think that given that, and the folks in Oakwood are pretty well split on this, that something like that should occur. An overlay is not a problem if the entire neighborhood agrees to it, but how often does that occur? You can't have 60% of the folks imposing their will on the other 40%.
Jess Fields, the new College Station City Councilman, is here this morning. Now, I'm going to ask you questions, and they're basically just kind of your point of view as one member of council, and hopefully people understand that. Let's talk about Welborn. What's your point of view as far as what you think the city should do in interacting with Welborn?
Well, in this first meeting that I had, I moved that we meet with the citizens for Welborn, and that proposal is out. I'm not sure if we've gotten a response to that yet. I don't think we have. But I hope that that we sit down and meet with them, have an honest, fair discussion. No preconditions, nothing on or off the table. And at the very least, I think we should do that. I don't see a problem letting them vote on incorporation for historic Welborn. But the map that they originally had, a lot of people in College Station have a problem with. That's why we got to sit down and talk about it. There's got to be a solution, a compromise that we can come up with. So,
sales tax projections are falling short. That could mean a problematic situation as far as the budget's concerned. What's your view as far as the budget process? You see some places that need to be cut, and if so, where are they?
Oh, yeah, there's plenty of places that need to be cut. We've got, the biggest part of our budget is O&M. And so the most obvious place to cut is where is it that we are buying equipment that we're maintaining that we could perhaps cut back a little bit on. I think some folks would argue, and rightly so, that perhaps some of that area is in some of the Parks and Rec expenditures. Not all of the Parks and Rec expenditures. We have to keep our parks, looking nice, but some of that could go back. At the most recent meeting, I actually fought against a cut to that that operations budget. But we also have plenty of things like planning costs. I hope we'll talk about the medical corridor. I won't mention it now. We have a number of extra projects that we embark upon that really maybe aren't as necessary. And ultimately, as it comes down to the budget overall, long-term view, we have so much debt. Our property tax should be the stable base for our general fund. It's not. Because our property tax, 52% of it pays for debt. And so when you have that, the sales tax you rely on so heavily, it's not as stable a budget. And year over year, it's going to fluctuate up and down. We need a more stable budget. And the way you do that ultimately is by relying more on the property tax. So overall, I'd like to see in the next 3 years that I'm going to serve as Place 2 councilman, I'd like to try and get us in that direction, maybe not rely so heavily on the debt for some of these long-term projects. See if we can't create a rainy day fund. See if we can't perhaps be a little bit more fiscally conservative on some of the larger projects.
Texas A&M continues to grow. That's students. They have cars, trucks, motorcycles. Streets are a big problem as far as upkeep and then also new streets. What's your view as far as funding for upkeep of streets and new ones?
Well, we definitely need to keep our streets maintained. There are areas of town where our streets are in pretty bad disrepair. And I walked a lot of streets during my campaign. I saw a lot of that. And there's also areas of town where streets are very narrow. We need to clearly do something about the areas of town where streets are so narrow that people parking on both sides of the streets, an emergency vehicle couldn't get through. That's a problem. And that's not an issue even of property rights. A street is a public good. And, so if you have people parking on both sides of a narrow street, an emergency vehicle can't get through, you need to do something about that. And I think the council has expressed some interest in doing something about that. So that certainly is an area where we need to address that.
Well, one member of council, how should that be funded?
To
improvements of streets and upkeep of streets.
Well, upkeep of streets is basic O&M. We just need to make sure that we're doing it evenly throughout the town. I think there's some areas of town that clearly get more funding than others for whatever reason. Newer areas won't try to make it look nicer. Eventually, those deteriorate. You have to maintain those deteriorating streets as well in the older neighborhoods. The older neighborhoods don't have as much clout. But for parking issues, I think it's actually pretty simple. You can stripe streets in certain areas, something that's been looked at. Some places it might be appropriate to put signs up, but generally you could put down an ordinance that says that where streets are this narrow, something to that effect, that perhaps people can't park on both sides of the street, maybe only one side of the street. And again, that's because streets are a public good. That's not infringing on anybody's property rights. That's just making sure that people are safe. And we need to be able to allow emergency vehicles to get through those streets. So.
Okay, well, I guess what I'm getting at is, from a funding standpoint, are you in favor of any kind of a levy against individuals or households for streets?
You're talking about a transportation impact fee.
Whatever you want to call it.
No, I'm against that. That should come out of the general fund. That's something that is a core service of city government. And when you consider that we're doing so many enormous things that perhaps we ought not be doing, really it's silly that some of our streets aren't being repaved, some of our streets aren't being upkept, and that some of these basic issues like parking aren't being taken care of. That's something that we should focus on before we focus on, for example, the $20 million Greenways project that's being proposed. I have nothing against Greenways. I'm completely in favor of ensuring that as much of our town as possible is green and upkept nice, but you've got to make sure that it's reasonable in a recession that you focus on the things that really matter. And we're clearly not doing that 100%.
And then finally, the piece of property at Chimney Hill. Idea was that a conference center be put there. That is at least on the back burner right now. What should be done with that property in your view?
Well, it is on the back burner. It shouldn't be on the back burner because that is a property that the citizens of College Station are losing out on the property tax on, as well as the potential services businesses that could be in there. Right now, they've only got three tenants in Chimney Hill. I should say we've got three tenants because the city owns property. And so we need to do something with the property. The idea was if we build it, they will come. Unfortunately, I feel like we've kind of tangled ourselves up in this micromanagement of property. It's not just Chimney Hill, Scott. We've got properties all over the city. And properties that aren't even revenue producing. A good example is the old City Hall on Northgate, and the huge block of land back there. It's supposed to be a park. It's gated off. Can't even get to the park. Chimney Hill is similar to that. It's a non-producing property. You get a little bit of rent off the Northgate property. Well, you get a little bit of rent off the Chimney Hill property, too. But ultimately, we need to make a decision. And as I said during the campaign, I want to put it to a vote. We'll be talking about this soon. And then, of course, there's a little bit of time to get something on the November ballot yet. But I would like to see the citizens of College Station able to express their opinion on that. ultimately, from what I've heard, I think most people would opt to divest ourselves of that property. And I think it would be a wise decision for the citizens, for the marketplace, for businesses there.
Yeah. For clarification, so people know, it's the piece of property behind what is that, XL, that's over there, and they were going to be do a development, a game day development that fell through. So that's the reason the way it is.
Yeah.
Well, what else is on your radar screen?
Well, I mean, something coming up at the next meeting is the medical corridor idea, something that's kind of slipped under the radar, unfortunately. I really wish that more people knew about this because it is coming down the pipeline real quick. They've been talking about it for months, but people I've talked to don't even know about it, really. So basically what the medical corridor is where we have the Med and stretching over to about where the Weingarten tract is, and then north and south of that a little bit on the east side of the bypass, we're going to be creating, if this goes through, basically a district for medical services in College Station, so that we're going to put an overlay there and regulations that ensure that we create a medical community in College Station, our own medical district. And it's an interesting idea, but I find myself against it because it's going to cost us $250,000. This is what's coming up at this coming meeting, is a $250,000 contract that we're going to approve or deny. And the $250,000 contract is basically going to pay for, you know, how are we going to drop these regulations? What are we going to have to pay for in the long run? I mean, the simple fact of the matter is it costs too much. $250,000 in a recession for planning something like that just isn't smart when we're having to cut so many areas of our budget. We could use that money to roll over into FY11, and ultimately it would save the taxpayers that much money from having to be paid for that.
That's fiscal year 11, so people understand.
Right. And then, you know, we don't need it. I mean, the marketplace is clearly saying that this is going to be where our medical services are. Scott and White expressed interest in that Weingarten property. Who knows why they're expressing interest, but the fact of the matter is that's where a lot of those things want to go anyway, and so we don't need to plan for it to be there necessarily. And then the next part, really, which bothers me as much as anything, and I think a lot of folks wouldn't know about if I perhaps didn't bring it up, is the neighborhoods around that area. The long-term plan is perhaps that the Southwood area, some of that would actually be redeveloped into either higher density residential or into medical use. I have a huge problem going forward with the planning process that hasn't talked to the citizens of that area when we have, you know, this coming from City Hall and not from the grassroots, from citizens like that. It's kind of a natural facet, but we really should go out and talk to the people there before we go forward with this. So that's a huge problem I have with it, and a few other issues. And, you know, that's just my opinion. That's not the city's opinion. That's my opinion. The mayor and the other council members may have their own opinions on this. But I just don't think that we should go forward with a huge planning process when we are in such an economic difficulty as we are now. We need to make sure that we pay for the things we need to pay for.
One of the things that you mentioned during your campaign was that you wanted to have forums where you could meet with citizens. You got one of those coming up.
Yeah, I do, actually. This coming Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. in room 105 of the Barbara Bush Conference Center over on George Bush Drive, we're having a town hall meeting. It's just going to be a simple little meeting where citizens can come and view the agenda and talk about the agenda with me, as well as any other issues they happen to think about. So again, that's room 105, Barbara Bush Conference Center on George Bush Drive, 7:30 Tuesday.
Any staff going to be there, or is it just you?
You know, staff's welcome to come. I mean, the plan is just for me to be there, but anybody can come, and including other council members, although I don't think that anybody else will. You know, it's really just the ideas that citizens can come and directly engage me that way. They can always give me a call to 571-6724. My email address is jfields@cstx.gov. You know, just get in touch with me if you have any questions. We can talk about issues, we can talk about whatever, and anything you bring to me, I'll try and, reflect in the way that I do my job.
One of the things, I guess, that I like the idea of interaction, that's fine, but without staff or other members of council, I'm a little concerned that that might not be a true representation of the situation. What would you say to that?
I mean, really, it's not going to be me espousing opinions as much as just listening to people. Honestly, I don't intend to participate in the discussion other than answering questions. It's more that people would come and give me their opinions about things, and that's kind of how I treated my campaign in a lot of ways. At the forums, I would go and tell my opinion about what I want to do about these issues. But really, when I would go door to door, I'd just listen to people, and that's kind of what I want to do with the town hall meetings. May or may not be a good idea, but, the fact is it's just another way to try and get out and hear citizen voices, and that's something our city needs to do.
All right, very good. Thanks for your time this morning, Jess.
Hey, thank you, Scott.
All right, Jess Fields, he's the new College Station City Councilman in place, too.